We do want to talk about things medical, and it is obviously a very, very serious conversation that that we want to have. Joining me on the line in order to talk about this is Dr. John Serfontein. He's a consultant at the South African Private Practitioners Forum, and we've asked him to give us his thoughts on the effect of the NHI or possible NHI on the South African healthcare system. Dr. John Serfontein, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hi, good morning, Howard, and good morning to the listeners.
So, obviously, there's a fair amount of anxiety slash panic over the introduction of this act. I'm not particularly concerned. I feel like our government hasn't done anything that it set its mind to do since 1994. I can't see why it would achieve this, of all things. But obviously, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of concern around the implementation of an NHI system, and one that would preclude people from having their own private medical care. What is your thoughts as a consultant for the South African Private Practitioners Forum?
Well, Howard, while I can agree with you that it's highly unlikely this will be implemented, it's already doing a lot of damage to the system right now. I mean, if you look at this week, all the private hospital groups and Discovery share prices were absolutely hammered by investors because of fears of NHI.
Sure.
And then, we've got a big problem with healthcare professionals leaving the country in droves at this stage because of the uncertainty. So, these are very concerning things right now. Going forward, we still don't have any idea what NHI is going to cost and what it's going to cover. And the assumption that we're going to have a similar set of services under NHI than is currently available in the public sector is highly unlikely. So we might end up having less healthcare services under NHI than we currently have because of the fact that we don't have money to pay for this.
Right. And in fact, I read that that just the preparation and the discussion around the NHI is costing will cost taxpayers 2.1 billion rand per year just to even though it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, that is correct. And I mean, even the pilot projects, there was a lot of extra money thrown into those and the results were terrible, So there were no positive results out of the pilot projects. And yet we don't know what it's going to cost. And yet we're still continuing with this NHI unabated, because it's a political decision, which is very, very concerning.
How is that possible? I mean, how does anyone stand up in government without actually laughing at their own insincerity and say, look, we are going to implement a sophisticated system that's going to give everybody access to healthcare, and don't worry, guys, we'll take it from here. If it wasn't so concerning, it would be a joke, surely.
Yeah, look, I think, if one looks at the way they wanted to approach the nuclear bill, it's very similar to that.
Mm.
So, it's very concerning that people that are supposed to be looking after the interests of South Africans are not doing so. And I do think that if we look at the original, the concept of a single-payer model, that was came about in 2009, 2010, which is at the very height of state capture, So the evidence doesn't explain why we decided on a single payer model, but what's going on at the Zondo Commission, that is explaining it, So, with this NHI fund is going to be twice the size of Eskom. We're trying to break up Eskom into three parts because it's too big to manage, and yet we think that the NHI is going to be manageable at twice that size.
So what can be done about this?
Well, the single biggest problem in the system at this moment is the management in the public sector. If you can get competent managers into the public sector, it can make a large difference and it can improve the levels of quality in the public system quite radically without having massive additional costs, And then the second thing is one has to look at how can we get the private sector involved in rendering services to the public sector. And I think that most private providers would be quite happy to donate an hour of their time every day towards seeing state patients if they get some kind of tax incentive for that for government. Also something that wouldn't cost us anything and yet would have a massive impact on service delivery. But these kind of things are not being done because these entrenched managers in the public sector are all union members, and the unions are, as much as they pro-NHI, do not want to see their members fired.
Mm. Howard Thaxton joining me in studio. Your thoughts, your comments, questions?
Just explain to me, if I'm a doctor, how would this affect my life? I believe there's a bill out. So explain to me practically, if I'm a doctor, what changes would it make in the life of my GP or in the life of one of my specialists?
Look, it is going to take away the way you practice. And the biggest concern is that the reimbursement levels from the NHI fund is going to be set by the minister. Historically, in 2010, the pricing tariffs were set aside because the minister did not consider practice costs. Now, we're not going to for a moment believe that they're suddenly going to start considering things like practice costs and setting prices. Mm-hmm. So they think that NHI is going to radically push down the prices of healthcare. And it's not going to happen because private providers are not making obscene profits. You know, they're just covering their costs and making a living. So if you take away their ability to do those two things, they are not going to have any further options than to leave the country, because employment by state, there aren't any funded posts in state at the moment in any case.
Practically, doctors, that mean my GP would no longer work in a private practice. My GP would actually work for the state.
He'll be paid by the state, but he might be able to work for himself. In a practice wherever, but yes, the NHI fund will be paying him. Of course, due to some of the wording changes in the newest document, it does look like if your GP decides not to contract with the NHI, his services will not be reimbursable by the fund, which means they would qualify for complementary cover being offered by medical schemes, which is exactly the system we are in now. So it's just going to cost us more because we're going to have additional taxes.
Yes, well, I was just going to say, so that all that happens is it becomes a double taxation, because we pay the estate for medical cover, which we don't, which we won't land up using, and then we will still have to pay our medical costs for the already struggling middle class. That is a straw that will undoubtedly break the back.
Definitely.
Very, very frightening indeed. What is the process to object to this along the way?
Well, I assume that you will be informed by the health committee in Parliament when they start engaging with the bill on how one can interact. There should be further provincial interactions as well on this, and of course it's good that to see that the Democratic Alliance has now taken steps to question the constitutionality of this bill, because it is quite questionable, you know, and especially things like the way that besides the issues that they raised about the provincial protection of provincial funding and things in the constitution, there's also the issue of foreigners. You know, Section 27 of the Constitution says everyone has access to right to access healthcare, not every South African citizen, you know. So the fact that illegal immigrants are excluded, you know, is actually unconstitutional. Now, I mean, as a taxpayer, I don't want to pay the illegal foreigners to come and use our South African healthcare services, but that is what our Constitution dictates has to happen.
Right, and can you imagine what would only happen in terms of illegal immigration or illegal travel now, and considering the porous nature of our borders, we'd have everybody here from everywhere coming for free medical treatment. It's absurd.
Definitely. That is very concerning, but our constitution demands it, unfortunately.
All right. Unfortunately, that's where we leave it, Dr. John Serfontein. He's a consultant for the South African Private Practice Forum. I have no doubt that we'll be chatting to you on a regular basis as we move through this process and it goes in one direction or another. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. I really do appreciate it.